Good morning. Yeah. You are on the Mike and Abe show, and we are on the planet Earth, and we're all over the planet Earth, and we are situated in different locations. I'm somewhere down south, ex-New York taxi driver, retired, 42 years, and current New York taxi driver, who wishes he could retire, is Mike. Mike, what's going on?
Yeah.
Mike.
Everything is going on. It's very busy for the yellow cabs, thank God. Everybody, for the last 2 years, have been trying to steal our business and have failed miserably. And now the only thing we have is like the ashes of the broken gypsy cab dream of cars just tripping over themselves, black cars and their little Ubers and Lyfts and everything else. And there's only so many ways those guys can cut up the pie. And, you know, the other thing is I don't see a lot of Uber bragging about $40 billion and $60 billion value anymore. So I guess they're going down the drain, I hope. But we have a weird dichotomy in the taxi business where we have, like, I don't know if it's a standard business procedure of a camp of people who are constantly whining and crying about how horrible everything is. And then the drivers who actually drive are finally seeing a little traction. I mean, we could use a fare increase because there are cost of living things that are going up, but we just need that for basic survival. Mm-hmm. But we have on one side we have people saying it's horrible. We're going to lower the taxi medallion owner payments to the retirees. And I'm just saying, you know, they're cutting off their nose to spite their face, a lot of guys. Because if they keep lowering the price they're paying to outside medallion owners, let's say a cab driver, he's retired, he rents his medallion, and gets a check every month. There's a lot of guys do that, okay? Like, I'm sure you know somebody who does.
Yes, I do. Let me just say this, okay? There are some medallion owners that are resorting to what you would call desperate moves. Okay, I had a medallion owner call me up last week. Okay, and his broker wants to give him $50,000 down, and then pay him supposedly $2,500 a month for 20 years, and that would buy his medallion. Okay. And whether the broker's buying it or somebody else is buying it, I'm not sure. I didn't get that straight. But what guarantee is there that he'll even get payment for 20 months, let alone 20 years? Okay?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, what should be in there, what the big boys do in the real world, is they give the guy an option to opt out. It's like, okay, you're giving me $50,000 now, and you're giving me $2,500 a month. And it should be like, okay, well, if I want to opt out of this deal in 5 years, I have the right to do so, or if in 3 years, or in 2 years, or something like that.
Well,
and you know, the other thing is, let me do it before I forget. The other thing is, I was listening to the Taxi Dave show, and there was a guy who called in, and I think we have the show on our website somewhere.
Taxi Dave, yes, he's on our show. He's on the same page as the Mike and Abe show.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a totally different business. That's a friend of ours. It's a friendly thing. And a guy called in whining about, you know, he's not getting enough from his medallion. The guy sent him a letter lowering the monthly price. But say, listen, you can't negotiate with Taxi Dave on the air about what deal you made that nobody saw. And these guys just run in like babies.
Well, I think those are TNC plants.
Oh, could be.
Okay,
so?
I don't believe these people, especially the number this guy came up with. And I know what you're talking about. It was 2 weeks ago, all right? And I'm not even going to repeat this number. You know, you ever hear too low to advertise? You know?
Yes.
Well, this is definitely too low to advertise or not advertise. Okay.
So, in other words, as they say, you're throwing the bullshit flag on this.
Yeah. Right. You know, I mean, I made a suggestion to Taxi Dave this week in an email. Okay. And I got a reply from Dave, and I made two suggestions to Dave. One suggestion is that instead of having these Uber whiners call up. Okay, a guy called up last Sunday whining about how Uber is a cancer, but he's an Uber driver. You know, I mean, you can get rid of that cancer really quick. Just get rid of Uber. Okay, I mean, this is a curable cancer for at least for the driver. Okay, All right. But I said to him, instead of having these people call up, why don't you have some people that are driving wheelchair accessible taxis, what they call wave taxis? Okay.
Right.
Why don't you have some of them who are making tons of money out there call up and talk about how much money they're making? Because it seems that what the brokers are telling me is the reason that they're cutting the rates is because they can't get the wheelchair accessible vehicles out. Nobody wants
yeah.
people don't want to, drivers don't want to drive them. Okay. And then my reply is, why did I let my hack license expire? I'd be flying up to New York, you know, to drive a wheelchair accessible vehicle for the amount of money these people are getting paid. I mean, this is mind boggling.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they're finally starting to throw money at the cabbies for helping the handicap. And I mean, this is just, it's pretty much probably going to be de Blasio's last year in office. So this is one of the problems we have, is that if you've got a lame duck mayor, he's not really incentivized to do anything. Because, I mean, right now the city is probably on autopilot. And
well, I think de Blasio
disturbing.
Wants to run for re-election. Okay.
Well, he wants to run for election. I don't think he's got a snowball's chance in hell of winning, and it's his fault. I mean, he had all this stuff that he could have done, and he doesn't do anything. And they say he gets to City Hall at 11 o'clock in the morning every day. He's like, you think I'm bad? Mm-hmm. You know, he wakes up at around 8:30, drives from Manhattan to Brooklyn to go to the gym. Then from Brooklyn, he drives back to City Hall, and he's at his desk at 11 o'clock, whereas Bloomberg and Giuliani were in City Hall at like 6:30 in the morning.
Hmm.
So a lot can happen in 5 hours every day. And that's just one part of what's happening with him. And it reflects a lot on the city.
Hold on, but you say that. Do you have any factual proof of that?
Well, I heard it on the radio.
What station?
I think Curtis Sliwa said it on WABC.
Oh, okay. Well, anything Curtis Sliwa says must be true, right?
The Red Beret.
Yeah.
I met
Curtis Sliwa twice. Okay, face
I met him a few times
face
street,
to face.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I had him in my taxi. Okay,
uh-huh.
He was a passenger in my taxi once, and then I actually met him in the studio. I was doing a promo commercial in around 2001, somewhere in there. Okay, and I got to meet him when he was talking when he was doing the show with Ron Kuby, right. And I actually, met him. I actually met him in the ABC studios where he was working at the
mm-hmm.
time. And I reminded him that he was a passenger in my taxi. And he said, "You're not the guy that shot me, are you?"
And he said, "Yeah,
no,
that's
no."
Me.
And you know something? And I did see Curtis Sliwa once or twice on the street. And one time, I saw him on 96th Street and 3rd Avenue. And he was waiting for the light to change, and I pulled up just as the light changed for me, and I shouted out to him, Curtis, and I waved at him, and he's okay. He's a good guy. He's from Canarsie. I like guys from Canarsie.
He's from Canarsie.
Yeah, I like guys
from
Canarsie.
Canarsie is hot and cold. There's Canarsie, then there's Canarsie. So it's a little tricky out there.
But that's my old right next door to my old neighborhood where I grew up. Okay.
Yeah.
I grew up near Remsen and Utica. Okay, if anybody out there knows that corner, Remsen and Utica.
I had like, no kidding, I had like maybe two or three trips last night right in that area, like Remsen. But Bedford and Eastern Parkway. You're right up the road from Bedford.
Yeah,
right
well Remsen and Utica are southeast of there. Okay.
You're by the ballpark. By the ballpark.
Which ballpark? You mean Ebbetsfield?
Ebbetsfield.
I was able to walk to Ebbetsfield from my house, but I was on Utica Avenue. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Utica. You know, this Boys Highfield is over there on Schenectady Avenue, between Schenectady
mm-hmm.
and Troy and Maple Street, not Maple Street,
right.
Rutland Road. Okay. And
mm-hmm.
We used to climb over the fence and climb into Boys Highfield when we were kids. Okay.
Right.
When the place
mm-hmm.
was closed, we were crazy. All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was
yeah.
one email that I sent to Dave, suggesting that that he get some wave drivers on the show, and he wrote back, "Great idea, great idea,
great idea."
Yeah.
You finally got a response from Taxi Dave.
Well he responds. He's funny. He responds only in certain circumstances. If you ask him something that he doesn't want to reveal, or for one reason or another, you won't hear from him. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, he's funny. You know, I don't know. You know, he'll answer you. He won't answer you. Don't take any offense.
Dave. The greatest person.
I know, but we know you well now, so you know, it doesn't bother us.
He's the greatest person on the face of the earth, next to you and me and a few other people. But I just want to say, actually, I think I'm on his show tomorrow. I'm supposed to. Now, here's the thing with the Taxi Dave show. It's like Sunday night at 8:00 for people that don't know, and I'm probably going to be a guest in the studio on 7:10 a.m. Did I tell you this?
You mentioned this, yes. You did.
Yeah, so 7:10, so tomorrow night, I'm going to be on the show in the studio, God willing. But it's a Met game at 3, and if the Mets go with the extra inning, then they pull the show because it's on the same station. So if the Mets have a... Yeah.
Oh, the Mets are playing a late afternoon game.
It's their last game of the season. They're starting at 3, and if the game goes over 3 hours, 3.5 hours, then we're stooped.
Well, then you got the Mike and Abe show, so... What the heck?
You have your happy place. So listen, let's get back to what we were talking about earlier in the show about this. I call it the pity party, okay?
Yeah.
And we have a camp of people who swear by having a strategy that the best way to be successful in the taxi business is to whine and cry and complain all the time. Because I guess it flies in the face of a victim thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they have a legitimate court case suing Uber about the street hails, which it's complete BS when they say it's not street hail, because somebody walks in the street, clicks a button, and gets a cab. I mean, that was the deal the city made. There would not be any street hail.
That's a street hail, as defined by the Taxi and Limousine Commission. They called it an e-hail, and they said it's equivalent to a street hail. You know, now they're denying it. Now they're denying it.
Okay, let me just... if you put your hand in the air to hail a cab, it's a street hail. If you put your hand in the air with a phone in your hand, it's a street hail. So basically, you're putting your hand in the air to get a car one way or the other, whether it's a phone or no phone. But, I mean, it's just such BS. And I don't know. I mean, a lot of people have said the courts are corrupt. You got to get it out of the city. You got to get it out of the state. And this is a problem when you hear stuff like that. But point being, the business, taxi business, is better thanks to us, because we're just providing better service. And these super characters have done every trick in the book to screw us. And in spite of all that, people are coming back to the yellow cab in droves, and especially the tourists, they want nothing to do with Uber. Like, the people around the city, the people in the city, they have this, cult mentality where they have to get charged by Uber triple the rate. I don't know. Maybe they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
But the yellow cabs are not charging surge, and where business is good. But at the same time, you have retired medallion owners who are retired and under good faith rented out their medallions to people who said they were going to pay them X amount, and now they're paying X minus just because, that's they think it's horrible and the business is bad, and because of whatever excuse, they're sending out a check for less than the money that they said they were going to spend.
A lot less.
And a lot less, okay. And we haven't seen these contracts. We don't know what they agreed to. I mean, if you represent yourself in a court of law, you have a fool for a client, as the saying goes. But we don't know what these deals are. And how it also reflects is when everybody keeps crying, it reflects into the overall strength of the industry, the price of the medallion. I mean, if you have a guy who might want to buy a medallion, right, and all of a sudden he keeps hearing all this crying and crying, and it's too bad, the medallion owners aren't getting their money the way they should, blah, blah, the price of the medallion is going to go down. So you wind up into a situation where, on the one hand, you're shaving off a few bucks per month for the guy who you're renting the medallion from, but on the other hand, you're butchering the price of the medallion and the strength of the industry, because now cab drivers and other people coming in to invest hear all this stuff and run like rats, because they're not going to invest in something that they hear is doing so horribly. But if you're a driver on the front lines, it's gotten a lot better. And I mean, I know it's October, and we got 3 months of peak season coming up, which is great, thank God. And there are some things we have to do, but to say it's like this devastating, horrible situation, I mean, even the so-called TNC people don't even criticize us as bad as some of the people in the business. So this is just some very strange stuff going on right now. And what do you think? I mean, what are you hearing from your side?
They're not getting the wheelchair cabs out, and that's the reason why their rates are going down. Okay.
How many wheelchair cabs are there?
Well, supposedly by the year 2020, half the fleet will be wheelchair accessible.
I don't know.
You know, they started in January by you know, with the mandate. So it's 9 months gone by. Okay, two-thirds of the year, three-quarters of the year, right?
Right.
Okay, so you know, you got to do the math, okay? There's 13,000 cabs. Say, you know, round number, 13,000. I got the calculator here. Divided by 4 equals 3,250. And you divide that by... divide that by 4 times 3 gives you 3/4 of the year is 2,437 taxis that have probably renewed, you know, the cars have been renewed, and half of those probably would have been wheelchair accessible, so maybe there's about 1,200 out there. Okay.
All right. So all things. So if you have 10% of the fleet that is wheelchair accessible, and let's say out of the 1,200 of 14,000, so that means all things being equal, the monthly rental price should be down right now about 8%. I mean, have you been reduced 8% on your medallion lease?
A lot more than that.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
all right.
Listen. Here's an idea, and this is the other email I sent to Dave, Taxi Dave, this week.
Yeah.
Okay, and it'll probably be in the next issue of Taxi Insider. Okay,
right.
I made this suggestion. Since the green taxis are on life support, and many are in such desperate state of financial ruin that they are letting Uber use, or actually you could say abuse, them, maybe the TLC should allow these cars to turn in their permits, paint their cars yellow, and lease medallions, especially the WAV wheelchair accessible vehicle cars that have drivers. I think this is a good idea. Do you? And Taxi Dave wrote back, "Let me sleep on it."
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's an idea. I mean, like, right now, first of all, we need coverage on the street. Okay, and when guys say the pity party people, whether they're BSing or not, say, "Oh, we got medallions sitting." Okay, great. So get the medallions from sitting to being out on the street.
Well, this would be one way. Go ahead.
Right. And as far as the green cars, they should have put a cap on the green cars, just like they had a cap on
there
the yellow
cars. There is a cap on the green cars. There is 18,000. 18,000. And they sold
18,000.
Yeah, but they only sold about 7,000 or 8,000 permits. And that's it. Nobody's buying them anymore because Uber destroyed them. They destroyed them in the boroughs, in the Bronx, in Brooklyn, in the Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You want a car in those three boroughs? You get Uber, and now Uber has invaded the green cars. They've put their rap in the green cars. They've taken their rap out of the yellow cars, and they put their rap in the green cars, so they could say they have the wheelchair accessible vehicles.
Oh, well, out of all this, you finally hit the punchline at the end. So now, by them doing this, in their mind, they're off the hook from wheelchair accessible.
Exactly.
Oh, so that's the whole deal right there. I mean, all this big stuff. That's what. Now I get it. I didn't know that.
Okay,
so they're saying,
yeah.
I'm awake. It's 10 o'clock. I'm awake now.
Okay.
Because this is an outrage. And apparently, the green car guy is $1,000. Because what do they know? They see a check for $1,000, they're going to grab it. But the real thing, what you're saying, is Uber did that not for any reason other than to cover their ass for a green car coverage of their wheelchair program, which they don't participate in apparently at all.
Well,
that's horrible.
They did it for the wheelchair accessible coverage, and they also did it to grab money out of the green cabs too. They're charging the green cabs. Right. They're charging them the same commission that they charge the other vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you listen to my interview with Nancy Reynoso?
It was very good.
Yeah, okay. You know, listen to the Taxi Dave show last week. She called in. You listened to that? Did you hear her?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
She's a very nice lady, and she's very smart.
She is.
Unlike me.
She is. She's a genius.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. You're a genius, too. I just wanted to throw that out for the people, yeah.
Yeah, but we don't need to tell everybody.
Yeah. Except for writing at the medallion part, everything else is genius.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
so
we'll take that. So getting back to the thing. So the one thing I'm amazed at with this taxi business, we have a gold mine ready to go again right here in the yellow cab, and we have all these people who are living hand to mouth. It's like a whole mentality of you have some people who are living hand to mouth and want like this. Lawsuit to throw them like millions of dollars and bail them out. But meanwhile, if you just ran the business like old times, there'd be a lot of money on the table. I mean, it's right there. Your equity would go up. The medallion would become worth more. If you stand and fight and run your calves and what you're supposed to do, you can make like 10 times as much as this whole sob story nonsense pity party thing. I'll tell you something else, and it's the third rail of taxi leasing, but it might be time to take another look at a standardized commission thing, all right? I mean, because right now, all this leasing and mumbo-jumbo, I mean, back in the days, it was a lot easier to get fare increases, a lot easier to get cabs out with commission driving.
It was, Mike, but the problem with that was that the drivers stole from the owners, okay?
So the drivers what?
They stole. They stole.
They stole.
They did off-the-meter jobs. The arm job, okay?
Yeah.
You know,
that's bad.
Yeah, well, it cheats the owners out of their money. Okay.
Now, did you ever do an arm job in the history of your life with a cab?
I plead the fifth.
All right, we keep talking like people have been in the business for years.
Yeah,
like,
well, an arm job. When I broke into the business in 1970, okay, I cannot believe it's going to be 47 years ago. That I broke into the business. Is that right? 80, 90, 2000, 2010, 47 years ago since I broke into the business. I was 22 years old, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I remember just saying to myself, how long do I have to do this? Well, it was a long time, all right? Okay? Right. But when I broke into the business, everybody got 49, all the drivers got 49% of the meter. The fleets paid for gas. The fleets paid for maintenance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They got 51% of the meter. Okay? And you didn't have to do anything except drive. And then they gave you we were employees. Okay?
Right.
We got a paycheck at the end of the week with deductions for Social Security and for income tax and whatever. And we got a W-2 at the end of the year. We filed our taxes. Okay?
And it was a real thing. It was
for
real.
But yeah, it was for real, sure. But the problem was that guys would go out, and they would book a certain amount of money. Okay? And then suddenly it was time not to put the meter on and keep it all.
Right.
Forget about the owners and the 51% they're supposed to get. You know, the next hour or two or the last 2 hours of the shift, I'm just going to tell people, pay me this, pay me this, pay me this. And the passengers went along with it. They didn't mind at all because if it was a $3 ride to Brooklyn, which is what it was from Manhattan, right, or a $4 ride to Brooklyn was a lot of money. Okay, now it's $40.
Right.
Okay, this is, you know, time has passed. Inflation has taken its toll. All right, but
why is it $40?
Well, look, but you get the idea, okay? You charge the passenger a little less, he pays a little less, he goes along with it, and the driver gets a little more and puts it in his pocket and doesn't have to turn it over to the owner, okay, the fleet owner,
right. Okay,
or whoever he's driving for, okay? That was the problem with commission, Okay. And the owners cried. They said, we want a flat rate from the drivers. We want the drivers to pay us so much per shift, and then they could do what they want. And it worked very well. Right. It worked very well. Okay. The what they call the leasing or whatever. And the drivers became independent contractors, and then they were responsible for their own taxes. Okay. And the, you know, so look, if you could keep the drivers honest, then the commission deal is not, never a bad idea. Okay. Cause then people could come in and work part time and no matter how, you know, if they work 4 hours or 6 hours, you know, and somebody's waiting to take the cab when they're done, nobody would object to that, but you got to keep the drivers honest.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, I mean, right now, I mean, we have the technology to, what do you call it? We have video cameras, we have GPS, we have a lot more technology to rein in any rogue cab driver who might want to steal from a taxi owner, okay? Mm-hmm. So that argument kind of goes down the drain a lot. Something's going to happen, something always happens, but you could have like an eye in the sky, or you could have the GPS, or you could have a hot seat or something, where you could have commission. I think commission drivers are the way to go.
They had hot seats. They had hot seats. And what's a hot seat? When the passenger sat down in the back, the meter automatically went on. Okay? Right. And the first thing the drivers would do is, as soon as they got the car, they'd disconnect the hot seat.
That's 35 years ago. All right, so forget the
okay,
hot seat.
Okay, I'm just telling you, those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. Okay?
Okay. Well,
all right?
Yeah. Well, the point being also, when you had the commission driving, it was a lot easier to get fare increase because you could go to the city and everybody was on the same page. Because now, you ask the drivers to defend the business, and it's like, well, I'm not going to get any money. The owner's going to take all the money. So that's the common threat from the drivers. And in a way, everybody's on the same page. One thing about Uber takes a piece of the action. So Uber's goal is to draw in as much money because they get a piece of the action, and any adjustments, the drivers get a piece of the action too. So they're all on the same page for improvement. That's one thing I'll say about them, because they have some sort of incentive where everybody wins. And that's the other thing I said about the credit card. I said, listen, I don't want a flat rate per day to pay for credit cards. I want something where the credit card company or people running these credit cards in cabs have a percentage so they can make improvements to improve the volume of credit cards based on the fact that we're being rewarded to improve the volume of credit cards. Well, right now there's nothing. It's just a rent-a-car system. It's ridiculous. It's a joke. And
it is.
It's a rent-a-car system, and the cabbie has to come up with $200 a day to use the cab for 12 hours. So that's all it is for running cabs at this stage of the game. And that's why it's a complete mess now, because they've geared too much on that instead of a win-win scenario. And I'm not running for president, by the way.
You're not?
I should, but I'm not, no.
Oh, by the way, I figured out who I'm voting for.
You're voting for me. You're writing
no,
me
No, I'm
in.
Not voting for you.
Is this a drum roll? Is this a special announcement?
I don't know. I don't know if this goes. It should be part of the show, but.
Go ahead. I mean, we'll talk about it.
Okay. It is not Donald Trump, and it is not and it is not Hillary Clinton, and it's not any of those other two party candidates. Jill Stein and that other character, whatever his name is.
Okay. Johnson, the weed head.
Yeah. Okay. I'm voting for Jesse Ventura.
Is he running?
No.
Oh.
No, but I'm writing his name. I'm writing in his name.
So you're going to throw your vote away. That's what you're saying.
Well, I just can't see voting for anybody that's running right now.
They're horrible. Yeah,
yes.
It's just a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... I don't know. Right now, because of all the Uber stuff and them throwing money at Hillary through Goldman Sachs and all these people, the Democrats are inventing driverless cars. They're funding driverless cars. They're giving grants to improve the technology for driverless cars, which pretty much destroys the workers in America drive. That's our friends, the Democrats, who we've blindly been trusting.
Right.
And also Goldman Sachs is like about 60% or 70% of the Uber investment money, the seed money as they call it, and they have unabashedly told their employees They don't want them voting for Trump. They don't want them sending money to Trump. And that all, and they're just shoveling money at the Democrats and Hillary. And this guy, David Plouffe, who was Obama's campaign manager for the last go-round, he is now deeply in the game, or has been deeply in the game with, I call it, super. So there's a lot of reasons, even though Trump is a trip, and to say the least, he's all we got. I mean, because the Democrats, from what I'm seeing, I don't even think they're Democrats anymore. They're just like this, like a bunch of closet commies, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's gotten horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's my rant on that. But I might have to hold my nose and vote for Trump. I am true undecided at this point. True undecided.
And that's it. And that's really a shame that at this stage of the game you still can't figure out who to vote for. You know.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I've been a lifetime New York City Democrat with traditional values. I mean, for Social Security, health coverage, feed the poor, the whole bit. But now, these people, especially in New York City, destroying, attacking the working poor, like cab drivers. How can you be a Democrat and you're attacking the working poor? I mean, what the hell is that?
Well, I'll tell you something about the New York City and the Democrats and Bill de Blasio. I would vote for him for a second term, and I'll tell you why. Because if he were to be reelected, that would give him a little bit more strength to go after the Ubers and the rest of them. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. You know, right now, like you say, he's running scared.
De Blasio. Forget De Blasio. He's just like...
Who's going to take his place?
No, an apology to train wrecks, yes.
Yeah, but who's speaking of train wrecks?
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a segue. That's segue of the millennium. So
yeah, well, that was some accident. That was some accident the other day. Okay?
Oh, man.
That's horror. That's really horror. You know, you know.
Oh, and Hoboken.
The horror.
Yeah. Now, here's a bunch of people standing on a platform waiting for a commuter train, not even like Amtrak or something, waiting for a commuter train.
Yeah, well,
sailed through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They told the train
and
to hurry
what
up.
What happens here? What was that?
They told the train to hurry up.
And I'll tell you, it's one more of these tech geniuses. What's going to happen when automatic cars start getting hacked, or automatic cars have technology misfunctions? What's going to happen then? It's going to be all over the town.
Well, from what I understand, they could be hacked into.
Okay. The high-tech driverless cars.
Right. They could be hacked into, and signals can be sent to these cars to go 90 miles an hour on the 42nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I think this is, these driverless cars are a disaster waiting to happen.
When that Hoboken crash happened during the rush hour a few days ago with the commuter train coming into the city, I didn't get any internet. I didn't get any internet feed from the taxi commission into my cab saying it was an emergency. I didn't get any plan from the taxi commission saying we could group ride or help out. But what I do get is an internet alert in my cab saying that cabs are needed at the Javits Center, with no incentive to go over there. So I don't know who's running the show at the taxi commission with being on point with stuff, but I didn't get any emergency plan when this Hoboken crash happened. And I'm just wondering, is anybody doing anything in the city anymore, or are we just like waiting for De Blasio?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. According to news reports, Uber had to refund all of the surge pricing that they picked up after the crash.
Oh, they were surging in the crash? Oh, my
God. Yeah, and now they're saying that they're refunding the money, and who knows?
They have proof? Show me the proof that they are, in fact, refunding the money. How can they do that?
Refunding or not, that's what the general news media is reporting, that Uber says they're refunding the money. Why did they take it in the Why did they take it in the first place? That's what I want to know.
Right, and the other thing is, why didn't the taxi commission have at least some kind of news alert for cabbies saying, effective immediately, there's been a crash involving Hoboken, blah, blah, blah. What's going on? Why is this so difficult? They have a computer right there. They can hit a switch and put alert.
The train station in Hoboken, and you know the train station, okay? You've been there probably many times as I have, okay? It was closed down for the entire day that day after the crash.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there were a lot of desperate people looking for other ways to get to New Jersey.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you're saying the yellow cabs got no notification of this.
No, not that I know of, and I'm out there all the time.
Okay. All right. So we want to hear from you if you can. And join our message board. You know, I mean, you know, why don't people join our message board? I don't get it. You know, we have over 300 visits a day on the website. We had 350 visits the other day. 300. The least amount of visits we have on any day are in the high 200s. Okay. Why aren't these people joining our message board? I'd like to hear from some of you.
Right.
You don't want to join our message board? Send me an email and tell me why. nyctaxinews@aol.com. Okay? Is that asking too much?
Right.
Just tell me why you don't want to join our message board. Okay? Is it too difficult? What is it? Okay? You know, you got this other website.
They're afraid of reprisal.
I don't know, but there's this other website, you know, where you could... You know, they don't want to give their name. They don't want to give their email address. I don't know what it is. Tell me what it is, okay? We want to hear from you.
Oh, no.
Okay? All right? We know that you're logging. Website. We know that you're logging onto the website because I have the numbers of how many people are logging on, okay? But it's the same dozen or so people that are on the message board that are posting, okay?
Right. Right.
Okay, so I just want to get that out there. All right?
Yeah. Right, well, I was just going to say, it's frustrating.
Yeah, and visit our advertisers. Okay, we have we have an accountant on there, Taxi CPA.
We have an accountant on there.
Yeah, and tax time is coming up before you know it. Okay,
from
you.
It's right around the corner.
Okay, let him hear from you. All right?
Let him hear from you.
Okay, you know... What more can I say? You got Checker Garage.
What can we say?
You need a taxi, but Checker gets all his cabs out, right?
He's getting most of his cabs out now, and I think they're doing okay. The off-peak nights are still a little slow, as always, but I think they're getting their core. Like the nights they're supposed to be getting out, they're getting out, and the day shift is doing very well because a lot of Uber cars don't work in the daytime because they can't cover the work.
Yeah,
and I just tell you, it's very telling as far as the strength of the yellow cab business, and we got to get these fake leaders off the stage. We have some people who are true leaders. We got guys like Ron and a few other guys who run cabs, have operated cabs in the business for years. But we always have these guys stepping in front of a camera. You got to get rid of these guys. I wish they would have got thrown out of the business when they had the chance, like when they were trying to get them out a couple of years ago. They're just literally trying to throw these guys out, and they can't get rid of them. And they're just you get a lot of deadbeats in the business who say they're leaders, but they don't do anything.
You're talking about the Taxi King, as the news people call him, right?
I don't know who the Taxi King is. I'm not going to say Taxi King. There's a bunch of self-anointed people who say they're taxi leaders, they're just a disaster. Yeah.
Okay, so Mike.
So
Mike, let's wrap up the show here. I got to get going. I got the business waiting for me. I got to go.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
and I'm going back on the road in the yellow cab. I'm going to drive a little bit, then give the weekend guy the car. So business is doing very well for the cabbies, but you got to be careful. We're going to try and get into the nitty gritty to find out all about this. Weird stuff that's going on, where you have a cab driver saying he's busy and cars are getting out. Then you have another group of people saying there's no business and we're going out of business. So I'm just trying to figure out which it is.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out.
So, Mike, where are the Mets playing tomorrow?
Philadelphia. Last game.
Okay, so let's hope that it rains. Let's hope that it rains in Philadelphia so that the Mets don't overshadow the Mike and the Taxi Dave show. Okay.
The Taxi Day Show. We can only hope.
And we can hope that. And tomorrow will be today because you probably won't listen to the show until tomorrow, which is Sunday. Okay. By the
tomorrow
time,
will be today.
Tomorrow
like that,
will
yes.
be will be to, today, right? Which is Sunday. Okay, we're recording right. the show now. It's Saturday, but I don't think I'm going to get it up until late tonight. So you'll probably be listening to the show tomorrow, which is Sunday. So now today, right. Sunday night, the Taxi Dave Show. Special guest host, maybe Mike.
Well, I'll be a guest in the studio. I'll be a guest in the studio, allegedly.
Okay.
So we shall see.
Okay. Well, if you're there,
I gotta tell you,
if you're there, I'm phoning in. Okay.
Oh, you are phoning. You're gonna make a special.
A special appearance. Okay. I do listen to Taxi Dave every Sunday night without fail. Okay. You know, I'll see if, you know, if I'm not too tired. Usually I'm very tired when I'm listening to the show. Because that's late at night for me. Okay? But, you know, I know you'll inject some wise thoughts into the Taxi Dave Show. Okay?
I'll do what I can. I will do what I can. So, all right, anyway, great show. And I think we covered a lot of work. And we really got to start taking some people to task in this business because they're complaining about things and then they get a chance to step up and they step off. So we got to get rid of these losers and pump up the real leaders. Like you and me and Taxi Dave.
Yeah. Okay.
And Ron.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
I'll see you later.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Yep. See you. Bye.
Bye.